Brothers and sisters, as we come to the Vision series, this is commencing this Sunday, runs for the next three, and it's followed by our baptism and confirmation celebration on the 17th of November. David Auld is across speaking at the Persian congregations, and he will be rejoining you again next week. Would you please pray with me as we come to look at God's Word together? And you might like to keep open Psalm 16. We'll be looking at that in a few minutes' time. Our Father in heaven, your word comes to us to save our souls and give us eternal life. We pray, Father, that we would take very seriously the things that you have to say to us, and that that would lead to great rejoicing as we are established in the hope that you hold out to us through Jesus' death for our forgiveness and his resurrection to eternal life. And we pray, Father, that this city might also hear this good news. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Vimalsan Thalaisingham worked in a garbage recycling plant. He worked in air which was thick with dust from crushed glass in a poorly ventilated and hazardous working conditions. When asked about it, Vimalsan said, "I got chest pain on the left side. I got blood noses and blood in the mouth." Jayaratnam Ramu was working in the same plant, 70 to 80 hours a week, and he was sacked after taking some sick leave. Where were they working? Was it India, China, Bangladesh? No, friends, they were working for a company called Polytrade, and it was situated in Dandenong in Victoria. They also have many plants in Sydney. Polytrade is one of the largest recycling businesses in Australia, dealing with over 400,000 tonnes of material every year. And this group was underpaying its workers by up to $40,000 every year, each one of them. So it was reported in the Age newspaper on the 5th of this month. Now, four of those workers were Tamil refugees. Jayaratnam had been a fisherman in Sri Lanka. He left there in 2012 because he didn't want to be disappeared. And like so many refugees, Jayaratnam was in a desperate search for security. And that is very understandably why he came to Australia. What he found was that he had traded insecurity for vulnerability. And Polytrade took advantage. He's not alone in that situation for refugees who flee to our country. But my point is this. People will go to very great lengths to find security, and it's security that we're thinking about this morning. People will leave their country, their home, and bring their family on a dangerous journey and risk detention in a country they've never seen to find secure citizenship. They will borrow $1 million or more and mortgage their entire life to the bank to have a secure home. They will study for years and then work ridiculous hours to find and keep a secure job. Security is very important for us. What does security mean for you? What would you need to be able to say, "I don't have a care in the world"? What would make you say, "Oh, everything is sorted, everything's going to be all right"? What would lower your blood pressure? What would do that for you? A mortgage paid? Superannuation in place? A clean bill of health from your doctor, perhaps? A husband who really loves you, or a wife who genuinely respects you? Permanent residency? A job, a better job. The list goes on, doesn't it? Can I just check? Can you hear me all right at the back? Well, what does the Bible say about this? The Bible says it's never secure. We're looking for security in the wrong place. There is nothing in this world that can give you the security that you are looking for. Nothing at all. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain." First century form of superannuation. "And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, so he was just about to retire. God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Now, the truth is, we all have a very deep-seated need for security. I don't know whether you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but if you are, you'll know that the very first thing that we look for is our physical needs. That is air, water, food, shelter, clothing, and Wi-Fi. The next level of human needs is security. That is safety. Now, Maslow describes that as personal security, a lock on your front door, employment, resources, health, and property. Children need the security of a family, a familiar routine, consistent love and discipline. Teenagers, well, they start to look for security amongst their peers. Be very careful who your children's peers are. And then as adults, people start looking for security in a relationship and often in a marriage. And from there, assuming citizenship, it's all a question of health and income and assets. People believe they can find security in this world. Subconsciously, they just keep looking for it if they haven't found it. And once they have air to breathe, which is pretty important, food to eat, that's also important, then they set about getting secure. Now, most Australians equate security with owning your own home. And that, friends, is why we value property so highly. The major banks in Australia made a profit in 2018 of $30 billion off the back of that belief. If you've got your own house, you'll be secure. And Australians will do all that they can to get that mortgage and keep paying it no matter what, sometimes for 30 or 40 years. And then, if they can, they purchase multiple properties to get more secure with multiple mortgages and a correspondingly higher level of debt and risk. And what's the problem? The problem is it's not going to make us secure, because we don't know what's around the corner. Ecclesiastes is the classic passage of the Old Testament on this. Chapter 9, verse 11. "I've seen something else under the sun." Under the sun is code for on this planet. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. Well, ain't that right? When Alton Chen bought his unit in the new and beautiful Mascot Towers, he thought that he'd found a secure place for his wife and daughter to live. That was until cracks appeared and they were evacuated a few months ago. And now Alton is one of 120 owners who have to pay $76,000 towards repairs on the building, and that's just the start. And who would buy that apartment from them? They are locked into paying a mortgage on a unit that they can't live in and they can't sell. And brothers and sisters, there's no insurance for those sorts of units. There's no recourse. I was watching a program the other evening about people who make a sea change. Do you know what I'm talking about, sea change? They sell up their house in the city. They go looking for a new home somewhere in the country, in their ideal location. Have a guess what they describe their new home as, typically. You know? They describe their new home as their forever home. Really? My observation is that most of these people are already in their 60s. How long do they think it's going to be before they can't get up the stairs, or they fall off a ladder, or whatever it's going to be? So I want to ask you, what do you believe? Where will you find genuine security and safety? This is important, because what you believe will determine what you value. And what you value will determine how you use your time and your talent and your treasure, what you'll be seeking with those things. And what if you spend all your time, what if you spend all your talent and your treasure to get something that this world simply cannot offer? Steve Jobs was absolutely brilliant, wasn't he? He built Apple. Then they were silly enough to fire him. And then he rebuilt Apple when they asked him to come back. What an astonishing career that man had. Talk about talent and treasure. If Steve Jobs was alive today, he would be worth $23 billion. That's not bad, is it? But friends, so what? He got cancer and died at the age of 56. He is in Jesus' eternal waiting room. The I man meets the I am. It's very important that we come to a proper understanding and belief in this, because otherwise we can spend our whole life trying to buy security from a shop that just doesn't sell it. And I want to say these three things to you today. This world doesn't offer you security. Second, Jesus is the only one who can give you that security that you crave. And thirdly, you're not going to be free to serve Jesus until you find the freedom of his security. So please turn with me over to Psalm 16. Read to us earlier, Psalm 16. I do wish you'd bring your own Bibles with you, but if you haven't, have a look in the church Bibles in the pews there. Psalm 16, and the first verse of the psalm tells us what the psalm is about. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. It's all about security and safety and refuge. And where does the psalmist turn for that? He says, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. As for other people, they'll look for their security in other places, and those places will be their gods. But they will not satisfy. Verse 4, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. But as for the psalmist, verse 5, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Now, the language here, you've got to pick up the language, because what it's saying is he is content with what the Lord has assigned him. In other words, it's a picture of the master of the estate assigning a place and an allowance for his servant. And the servant's security lies in his relationship with his master. And this master even provides a delightful inheritance for his servant. Now, this is our place before God. We are his servants, and he looks after us as we belong to Jesus. That is security. This, friends, alone is real safety. And it's not a transaction, it's personal. Verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Why won't he be shaken? Because the Lord is always at his right hand. God himself is the psalmist's counselor. He instructs the heart. It is a delightful image of Jesus' indwelling spirit teaching us, showing us our pathway through life. And because this spirit is the spirit of Christ the Lord, we cannot be shaken. Jesus oversees our every circumstance. He is our compass and our guide. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and he will make your paths straight. Psalm 119. This is security, and this is the only real safety that you will find. And what about death? Because death is the ultimate test of security. Death breaks into the most secure home, no matter how many alarms and locks you might have. Death robs even the billionaires of our world. Death stalks the most powerful men and reduces them to the dust from which they were made. But the psalmist is secure. Verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave. Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. God will not abandon his servant, not even in death, not even in the grave. Now, the psalm, of course, is talking about Jesus. His body did not see decay. You pick it up in Acts chapter 2. God raised Jesus from the dead. He is seated in the presence of his Father with eternal joy. But this psalm is ours too. This psalm is yours too if you have your trust in Jesus Christ. And it's because of Jesus, because when Jesus died, he died for you. And when Jesus rose, he rose to take you with him. And now, seated in the heavenly realms, he intercedes for us with the Father to bring us rejoicing with him and righteous before God. Not even death can come between us and our Lord and Shepherd. That's security, friends. That is safety. If you are looking for security in this world, you are simply looking in the wrong place. We will spend all our money on a mirage when we do that. We will spend our lives chasing a delusion, a fantasy, only to groan at the end when it just slips out of our grasp. Isaiah 55, verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will find delight in the richest of fare. Our New Testament reading was from Hebrews in chapter 6. Beautiful verse. We who have fled to take hold of the hope that is set before us, he's talking about faith in Jesus Christ, life in Jesus Christ. We who have fled to take hold of that hope may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope in the risen Christ. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, that is the heavenly sanctuary, where our forerunner Jesus has already entered on our behalf. It's like Jesus has gone into heaven, he's put in an anchor, and it's tied to you. That's a great encouragement, isn't it? Our hope in Christ, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Michelle and I were down at a harbour pool a couple of weeks ago, and we watched as a drama unfolded among the boats which were anchored outside in the harbour. It was very sudden. A southerly gale blew through, and in a matter of 60 seconds, the water turned really choppy. One man was standing on a very solid-looking tugboat type of boat, which was firmly anchored to a buoy. And the waves broke around it, and the wind tried to blow it away, but it was anchored firm and immovable. And then another man arrived in a speedboat, and he jumped into a dinghy and started to paddle towards the shore. And then he lost his paddle in the chop. And he was left desperately trying to paddle with his hands. But the wind just blew him steadily away. He had no anchor. And as he leaned forward to paddle with his hands, the waves broke over the front of the dinghy, and we watched helpless as the bow sunk into the water and the stern lifted up into the air, and he was tipped into the water as his boat sank, and he was left trying to swim to that other boat. He had no anchor in the rough waters. He was just being blown around. Jesus Christ is your anchor. You're anchored to heaven, where Jesus is. And your hope in him holds you firm and tight, no matter the wind or the waves that may buffet you in this life and in this world. That's security. That is the only safety that you are going to find. There is nothing else. Our kids need to hear this, friends. Our teenagers and our young people need to hear this, because they are suffering a plague of anxiety, especially our children and our youth. I'm chairman of the board of a residential college at the University of New South Wales. We have more people suffering from anxiety-related issues there than we have ever seen before. We have children campaigning in the streets for action against global warming. Our society breeds anxiety. The social media feeds it. We who belong to Jesus should be showing the world what real transformation means, but that transformation will elude us unless we find real security, our security and safety in Jesus, our anchor and our refuge. Real transformation requires that we should take up our cross and follow Jesus. It means that we make his love our love, his concern for the salvation of the world our concern, his priorities our concern. But will we do it? I tell you, friends, we will never get our priorities straight. We will never invest our time, our talents, and our treasure in the kingdom of heaven if we're spending them all to find security in this world. It won't happen. It's just a lack of faith. I am humbled and honored to be working with you in Jesus' mission here in Parramatta and at St. John's to see our city transformed by the hope of the risen Christ. One day, in the stretch of eternity, we are all going to look back on this day. We're going to look back on the opportunities that God has given to us here. And on that day, we will either rejoice with Jesus as we see in heaven the fruit of our labors here, or we are going to be filled with regret at the eternal opportunities that we wasted and were lost forever because we were chasing security here. What are we going to do? Seek an earthly security, which in fact we can never attain to? Or will we take refuge in our God and let him assign our portion and make our lot secure? When we do that, then that will leave us with the freedom, friends, to serve him with joy and give him his due. Now, will you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, how can we thank you for all your goodness and mercy to us? You are our only refuge, our security, and our safety. Lord Jesus, you are our master, the one who assigns our portion and our cup. You have made our lot secure. You are at our right hand so that we cannot be shaken. Therefore, we rejoice, for you will not abandon us to the grave, and you have made known to us the path of life, for you have gone before us. Father, we all desire a place of security. Please keep us from seeking this in the world, not in citizenship or property, not in our spouse or in our work, not in our wealth or our health, but help us to make you our refuge, our place of security and safety, so that we may then be free to serve you without fear in great joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Master and our Saviour, Amen.